We are just people who wants more and more love.
You're welcome to the Cyprus and Their Devotion 4.0, brought to you by Jesus Centered Ministry. The Lord bless you as you encounter His Word in Jesus' name.
And sacrifice. All right, so turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We've been on this mountain since on Friday. The theme of Disciples and Their Devotion 4.0 has been, and Jesus went up into a mountain. And for eight sessions already, the Lord has been speaking to us. The opening chant, the Lord came. He was talking to us. God's provision for struggling disciples took us to Exodus 3, and we saw clearly that I'm the God of Abraham. Abraham struggled, yet I was his God, and then I helped him. Isaac struggled, yet I was his God, and Isaac became a patriarch. Jacob struggled, and yet I'm the God of Jacob. There is hope for struggling disciples. No matter your struggle, there's a provision God made for every one of us. No matter where you are falling, God can help you. That opening chance came as a tornado to our heart and our ears. And we came to the second session, the third session that our brother took from Calabar, and then we came into yesterday in the morning where Brother Femi spoke to us. We came in the afternoon again when I took the session of the expose of the Beatitude, and then in the evening our sister Chosen brought a powerful word of how to climb the mountain with Jesus, how to climb mountainous challenges, and she shared testimony of how we have struggled in our own lives, and here we are still following. And this morning again, our sister came sharing on hunger and thirst after God as a disciple. Then our sister came this afternoon again and blasting on the place of love, the supremacy of love as a catalyst to climb the mountain. Those who follow Jesus climb the mountain was because they were his disciples and they had love for him. Where he is, they may be also. What will I be asking the Holy Spirit to dismiss us with? Look at verse 41 of Matthew 5, just verse 1, and then probably the last verse. Those are the two verses. When I say the last verse, I mean the last verse of Matthew 7, when Jesus was now coming down from the mountain. As we take this final instruction, I want you to see verse 41, Matthew 5, 41. If you have a very good background, will you want to read Matthew 5:41? That's our final charge. Anybody with a clear audience, will you want to read for us, please?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. That's just all. That's gracious enough. That's big enough. And that is very big a meal for us to just take home. And the Lord has been compelling us since on Friday in this mountain. God has been compelling us to become meek, compelling us to become those who are poor in the spirit. God has been compelling us to be peacemakers. He has been compelling us to be those who love him. He has been compelling us. And this verse 41 is stretching out to me a very clear instruction again. And God is saying to me here that if whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, what shall you do? Go with him 2 miles. When God is compelling you to serve him 50%, would you like to serve him 100%? Whatsoever God is compelling you, say whosoever. And I'm telling you that if this whosoever will not become Satan for you, I see God compelling you. I'll be concluding with us on what I titled Repelling His Compelling. And if that will sound somewhat to you, don't repel His Compelling. Don't repel it. God, truly, I saw in this 4.0 that God was compelling us to serve him. God was giving us a unique call. If you have followed the 9 sessions, you'll see that this 4.0 has been a climax of all 1.0, 2.0, 3.0. There is this utterance that came. Don't resist his compelling. Don't repel his compelling you. It is love that is compelling you to follow him. And this verse is saying, whosoever shall compel you. And I want to ask you, has God compelled you in this meeting? Has God literally set you on a sound footing and he said, follow me? And what is your response to this compelling? Will you repel or will you rebel? Don't rebel his compelling. Don't misbehave after you have listened to what he has been compelling you to do. Look at the question again. And look at the, in fact, I wish it was a question that he's asking, but I'm going to ask you a question. But look at the admonition of that verse. I like the language of the admonition. I like the way it is being expressed. Whosoever shall compel you to go 1 mile, please go 2 miles. I say, what kind of a thing is this? Somebody is compelling me to go 1 mile. And the Lord Jesus, he's saying, if I'm compelling you to go 1 mile, please, I actually want you to go 2 miles. I wish you can hear that voice. I am hearing a voice from this verse. Jesus is saying, I want to, you know, strike a revival in the land. I am compelling you now. It looks like 1 mile. If you are truly a disciple, you want to go 2 miles. And I'll be dealing with the implication of that. Then I'll read the last verse and then we'll be praying together. Whosoever shall compel you, and I'm asking you, who is compelling your life? Who is compelling your vision? Who is the compeller and the composition of what you are doing? Who compels? Who instructs you? Who energizes? Who is sensitizing what you are doing? The Bible says, whosoever shall compel you. And my first prayer is, the Lord, may you be the one compelling me. May you be the one compelling our lives. May you be the one compelling our destinies. Whosoever shall compel you to go 1 mile. What is the Lord Jesus expecting you to do? He said, go 2 miles. What does that mean for me? Let me tell you the implication, because this is not meant to be a teaching. Just a charge, just a closing remark so that we can pray together. A closing remark that God is saying, if you understand me well, if I tell you to come, please rush, because it's for your good. If I tell you to surrender all, it is for your good. Please rush. Make it faster. If I tell you to surrender all, oh, why not do it double? Because you will never regret it. Whosoever compels you to go 1 mile. Friends, are you ready to go a mile? Oh, I realize that very many times disciples are easily satisfied. You know, God has sent me to become a grandfather already. I have disciples that have produced disciples, and some have even produced disciples. And I realized that when a disciple just starts producing and he has 10 disciples, 15 disciples, he's already satisfied. You cannot stretch him to go 1 mile again, not to talk of two. I realized that when some have not even produced a disciple yet, and they cannot even finish 1 mile. And so we cannot compare them to go 2 miles. Look at the admonition as we pray this evening. Whosoever, and I'm asking you, who is he that is compelling your journey? Who is he that is driving what you are doing? Whosoever shall compel you to go 1 mile. Please go 2 miles. Oh, so one of my prayers tonight will be, Lord, may your love overwhelm me, that when you compel me to go 1 mile, did you see that? This is inaudible discipleship again. Did you see that now? You are telling the disciple, go and fetch me a bucket of water. But of course, you know we don't do that. None of you can say, I've ever sent you to go and fetch water for me. I've never asked you to come and wash my clothes. Some of you have been with me 10 years, some people 12 years. I've never asked you to sweep my house. Not because we don't know what other, but because we took a resolution that until God start eating from your lives, we will never, never, never be expecting you to be doing things for us. It is a consecration we took, not because we don't know what to do. But of course, you know, there are some disciples, they come in, you know, one disciple, she comes in every weekend and say, need to sweep the house. I need to fetch water. Is it water? She just fetch water and leave. Nobody asked her to do that. But the truth is that if they are compelling you to go 1 mile, the Bible says, why not go two? Which means that, oh, you are hearing more than they are telling you. A genuine disciple is a wordless, voiceless, silent disciple. She learns. He learns without anybody telling her what to do. When you now say, come and do, you want to do in extra. Are you a disciple that can be compelled to go 1 mile and you know how to go 2 miles? Don't repel his compelling. And, you know, as I'm talking about it, there's a verse in the book of Corinthians. At 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. What is it that compels men? Whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. I like that. Go with him 2 miles. Don't stop at 1 mile. Friends, let's enlarge our heart to go 2 miles with God. 4 miles. I'm going 6 miles. I'm saying, Lord, I'm not satisfied with this 1 mile. This 1 mile discipleship is no longer enough for me. I want another distance. Can I have a disciple here tonight that is craving, is longing and say, Lord, I know we have been on 1 mile for 2 years now. We have been on 1 mile for several years now. Can we do 4 miles? Can I have a stretched spirit? Can my faith be enlarged? You know, God, Lord, compel me to go with you extra mile, double mile, extra mile in loving you. Compel me to go extra mile in servicing your service, in loving you. I must not forget the scripture that is dancing in my thought now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think verse 14 says something about the love of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. It says something. Verse 13 says, whether we beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constrained us. Because we told John that if one died for all, then all we are dead. You don't see that now? For the love of Christ constrained. Constrained to compel. And very many times we repel. If we don't repel, we rebel. So there is a rebelling. There is a repelling. And it is a rebellion. So a rebel, a repel are all the things that affect spiritual compelling. Compelling to grow. Some of you, we have literally compelled you to grow. And I took some decisions. I said, look, I can no longer be compelling you. I have compelled certain people for a very long time. Now I want to watch you grow. I want to watch you manifest all that we have compelled you to grow. Inaudible discipleship is one word that keeps ringing to my mind. Can I withdraw and see how you are growing on your own? Can I withdraw and monitor and see that truly, without telling you, do your devotion, study, pray, have a prayer time in a week, have your quiet time. If I don't raise it and say this year, have an end of year retreat, I will be shouting since this meeting started that everyone need to pick a weekend. Families must begin to do their end of year retreat. I preached a message 2 years ago on how to do end of year retreat. That message is still there. How to retreat in the end of the year is there. Listen to it. But will you repair when you are compelled? Will you rebel when you are compelled to go 1 mile? Will you like to go extra mile? Everybody will be happy when you tell your son, I want a bucket of water. I say, Daddy, I'll give you 2. We will not be happy about that. I want you to fast 1 day in the week. He says, sir, I was thinking of fasting 2 days. Next time I'll be happy to give you instruction. Oh, Lord, grant us the love of Christ that constrain men to go 2 miles in the name of Jesus. Lastly, because we must pray now, lastly, somebody will read for me the Message Bible of that Matthew 7, and they will just take a word of prayer and end. Matthew 7. Don't rebel, it's compelling. Now look at the last verse, verse 24, Matthew 7, 24. I wish you can read it from the Message translation. Then I can conclude it and just release us to go. Verse 24, please, somebody look for the Message Bible. And hallelujah. Let me read it from the King James. Then you balance it up with the Message. King James says, therefore, Whosoever heareth this sense of mine, what are the sense of mine? All the beatitude and Jesus' final explanation of all the nine beatitudes. Whosoever heareth this sense of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth this sense of mine and do not do them. So we are having two categories of people living here. We are having people who will go and do them as wise people, and those who will just close here, and that is the end of the meeting. And the Bible says they are foolish, they are unwise, they build their house, their life upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it. Brother, read the Message translation so I can just lead us pray.
Praise the Lord. Message 24 and 25 is merged. So it says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. Homeowners, improvements of your standard of living. They are foundational words. Words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who builds his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the rivers flood, the tornadoes hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed on the rock. Praise the Lord.
Next verse. That's the smart carpenter, but there's a foolish carpenter. The next verse, please, so that we pray.
Okay, 26 and 27. But if you just use my words in my Bible, in Bible study, and not work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who builds his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolls in and the waves come up, it collapses like a house of cards. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So we are ending, we are saying, are you a foolish carpenter or a stupid carpenter? They are not my words. Foolish, stupid are all in that verse. But the Bible said there is a smart. So the title of this final charge is Smart or Stupid Carpenter. These two categories of people are living this Sermon on the Mount this weekend. Which one are you going to be? Will you walk these teachings into your life and sit back and say, Lord, what have you been saying? I don't want to be a stupid carpenter. I want to be a smart carpenter. I want to walk this beatitude. I want to walk this nine beatitude and all their explanations. I want to walk them into my life. That's what will make you a disciple. That's what will make you a wise master builder. That's what will give you a foundation in Christ. These words, they are not to be used for Bible study. I hope it was not a mere Bible study for you. I would like us to pray. Two prayer points we are praying. Lord, I refuse to be a stupid carpenter. How can I listen to this and end up being a stupid carpenter? Not a stupid carpenter, Lord. A smart carpenter I desire. Would you want to commit that kind of a prayer to yourself? This is how the beatitude ended. The beatitude ended foolish or stupid at the same time as smart. Lord, make me a smart carpenter. A smart carpenter that is going to take all the messages and bring them into my life. Help me to be a carpenter that will nail this truth in all my life. Compel me to go a mile to be a smart carpenter. Compel me to go a mile with you, Lord Jesus. And even 2 miles, 4 miles. Blessed be your name in the name of Jesus. So please, bro, Chris, go on, lead us to just pray over these matters as the Lord guide your heart in the name of Jesus. Let's go. Please lead us. 2 minutes out of time, and then let's draw this to a close.
Amen. Can we just pray? So much has gone through, transpired over this weekend. So much about the Beatitudes. Can we just pray quickly? That the Lord helps us to be genuine disciples for Christ. that will reproduce for Christ at this time. Can we just pray that the Lord will help us? Because you know, the beginning of that, Matthew 5 says, when he was set, and when you are building a house, you're making concrete. The concrete gets set. And it's only when it is set, it can carry many other things. It can carry the people in the house, can carry the furniture. So Jesus Christ went up the mountain, and when he was set, the disciples came unto him. You know, there are so many things the Lord will give us for our journey, especially in this end time, but we need to be set for the Lord. Can we pray that the Lord we fix, we incorporate, we engrave this beatitude into our lives, that will be set like a concrete, will be strong enough to hold the victuals, hold the anointing, hold the prowess, everything God is giving us for life and living in this end time. Can we just pray? Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Lord, I want to be set for you. I want to be virile for you. I want to be strong for you. I want to be tenacious for you. I want to hunger for you. I want to go for you. I thank you, Lord, because you're ready, oh God, to fill me as I hunger. Lord, create an insatiable hunger, oh God, except by you, oh God, in me. Lord, help me, Lord, to be a peacemaker, to be loving, oh God, to be genuine, to be compassionate. Lord, help me to be set with these beatitudes, oh God. Help me to be set, oh God, that Lord, by you, I'll be able to carry all you are endowing on me in this end time. In the name of Jesus, can we pray? Can we pray? Pray over whichever part has touched you. Can you just pray that the Lord will help you? That way, these things will not be stupid. Will not be stupid. And people will be wondering, I mean, why are you wasting your time being a Christian? Whatever is worth doing is worth doing well. Can we just pray that the Lord will help us? The Lord will help us not to be stupid, not to be foolish over these matters, these very weighty matters. The Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. Lord, help me not to be stupid. You know, the book of Proverbs talks about the fool that is pounding a mortar, and the foolishness will not go away. Can we just pray that the wisdom of Christ will come unto us? The wisdom of Christ that flowed into the apostles, even after the Sermon on the Mount, it flowed unto them. They were thick, they were strong. They were great men on this world. They made their mark all over the world. And you know, the Bible again says, the pillars in the New Jerusalem, their names will be engraved. Can we just pray? We'll not be foolish in our time. We'll be strong. We'll be virile. We will be pillars in the house of our God. We'll not be distracted by the lures and allures of this end time. Can we just pray? Lord, help me. Lord, help me to be strong. Help me to be strong. Help me to be strong. Help me, Lord, not to be foolish, not to be stupid, oh God. After all said and done, I'll be counted as a good and faithful servant and welcome into your eternal kingdom. Right here in this world, I will stand strong, stand faithful, stand graceful for you in this time. Lord, we bless you. Can we begin to bless the name of the Lord? Let's thank God. Let's thank God that the aura of these teachings and everybody that God has used, that the Lord will guide them, that they will not be cast away. They will not be disappointment to God. God has used them on this platform, and God will also keep them. God will strengthen them. God will grace them. As they've been used, they will only grow on from here. They will not diminish. Can we just pray for them? Pray for yourself, that as we go, pray for our elder, our brother, that the Lord has used in this way, that the Lord will fill his house with all this beatitude. The Lord will grace his wife, his children, himself, his ministry, everything, his disciples with this beatitude. That will be testimony. It will be shining. Can we just pray for him? Pray for ourselves. Pray for yourself as a minister on this platform. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me, oh God. Not to be stupid, oh God, to be strong. For you. Help me, Lord, to live this life hereafter. I pray, oh God, for all my brethren that have spoken, Lord. Lord, grace them. I pray, oh God, that our life will shine up, shine forth this beatitude. In the name of Jesus, for our elder, Lord, we pray. I pray, oh God, you endow him, his children, his family, his ministry, his disciples, everything that concerns with this beatitude, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we worship you. Thank you for this blessed moment. We'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Merciful Father, we give you all the glory again. We worship you. We thank you for everything. Lord, we go in your grace. We go in your power to be wise men, to apply these things, oh God, to be wise carpenters, oh God, as you build us, as you set us up, oh God. Lord, we pray, oh God, we'll be great furnitures in your house that you can sit upon our lives, oh God, like Peter's boots, like where he sat on the mountain, oh God, to administer unto this generation. We worship you. We go in your power. We go in your grace. We give you all the glory. Blessed be unto your holy name. Have your way. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
We are just people. We hope you were blessed by listening to the message. For further counseling, kindly contact Jesus Centered Ministry on 003
8794134. I repeat, 0803 8794134. God bless you.